You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show. Well, I don't think we want too much more snow up here in the Northland. Although it's looking a bit brown out there. The rain has kind of come down. It's looking sludgy, isn't it, Gord?
It's all melty.
Melty?
Melty.
Is that a real word, Gord?
It is for me.
Yeah, it is nice to have a bit of snow on the ground. And I'm not thrilled with the salty sludge that we have here in Toronto. But it's okay. We'll get over it. Hey, another special guest on the show. Boy, what a day we have had today. The leader of the Conservative Party, Stephen Harper, probably the most famous Canadian ever, Don Cherry, Randy Stonehill, one of the pioneers of the Christian rock movement, and up now on the show, my most favorite guest ever, absolutely bar none, Kathy Lee Gifford. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us again.
You are still the charmer, Drew. Still
I'm
the
smooth.
Charmer.
I am smooth.
You are. Well, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you.
Do you have people over already? You always have people in your house, so.
Well, you've been one of them, which yeah. I'm glad to say.
Yes.
But no, I'm down actually. I'm hearing you talk about the sledgy and the multi and all that
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, grossness.
I'm feeling a little guilty. I'm down here in Ocean Reef. In Key Largo, Florida, where it's about 76 degrees.
Okay, well, that's the end of the interview.
You still
right
hate
now.
Me. Yeah.
Bye-bye. All the best.
You still hate me.
Gee whiz. And Ollie and Rasheen, they're doing well?
Ollie and Rasheen are doing great. They're here with us. And, yeah, we've got a group. We got a whole house full, which is, I don't know. I love that anyway. But sometimes it just seems so right with the holidays. We have a couple that are with us that have a 4-year-old and a brand new 2-month-old.
So, oh wow!
Yeah, so I
boy,
mean,
you're
I'm,
game.
I can't wait for Christmas morning because even though you still feel like a child in the wonder of Christmas as a Christian, there is something about having those little ones around
yeah.
that are just it's you know you want to get up early again. Otherwise, well, we sleep in. We know Jesus isn't going to mind.
No,
you know?
That's right. That's right. It's always good to be ministered to by Pastor Pillow and the Quilted Choir.
Exactly.
I feel.
Yeah. Cody said to me today. He said, "Mom, do we have to go to church tonight or tomorrow morning?" I said, "Cody, yes, we do. It's the least we can do for Jesus." And Cody goes, "Mom, can we get him something?"
Oh, she was. Oh man,
he's such a pain.
Yeah.
He's 16. What can I tell you?
Oh
I'm
yeah.
16.
Now I want you to share with our listeners about your recent Christmas experience at your little church, where the children were all doing the. I don't know. Was it a nativity thing?
Oh, did you read that on my website?
Yeah, baby Jesus kind of chucked a wobbly. I think is
oh,
that right?
Oh my gosh, Drew, it was. I don't know. I had been kind of depressed a couple of weeks before Christmas. I'd had a severe herniated disc, and they put you on all kinds of bizarre drugs, anti-inflammatories, you know, prednisone and stuff, and then they put you on massive doses of narcotics because of the pain. And boy, I make a really lousy drug addict because the depression, I finally, after 2 weeks, said I went off everything completely because I didn't like what it does to you internally. I mean, yeah, it helps a little with the pain you're going through, but it makes you just so depressed,
yeah.
And I hated it. So. Oh, you should have read the website I had originally written for and Christine, my wonderful assistant, refused to write it up and put it. She says, "This is the most depressing thing I've ever read in my life, and I'm not putting it on." So thank God I went off these drugs and I wrote this new thing about. I went to this. We have a beautiful new church. God's just blessed us with in the last 6 or 7 months and. I don't know. They had the children's nativity pageant the other day, and there must have been 100 kids up there, all preschoolers. And I think Mary, do you know Rob Mathis's music?
A little bit.
You've got to play. I got to get you his album, many of his albums. He is just a genius. He, you know, the last album that I did, inspirational one that I had given you called
yes.
Gentle Grace.
Gentle Grace.
He produced 2 cuts on that.
Okay.
I Come to the Cross and also... Finally, but he had to sandwich me in between Sting and Rod Stewart.
Oh, I hate when that happens.
I mean, he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. Anyway, his daughter, who was in 5th grade or 6th grade, was playing Mary, and she was fabulous. She was singing just great, and we were very, very proud that we actually had a real baby Jesus in this. Of course, there's about 20 preschoolers that are playing the Angels, and every one of them's either, you know, got a you know, a hanging halo, or they're picking their nose or something. The cutest thing to begin with. They're all got drooping drawers, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
And all of a sudden, she's singing Silent Night. Sing it beautifully. And it ain't silent. Jesus is screaming his brain. So all of a sudden, she sort of hands baby Jesus off to his mom, another lady, not Mary, in the front seat. And the next thing you know, she just digs down deep in that manger they got there, boy, and gets out the stunt Jesus, which I howled. I just, and our pastor got up later and he just said, you know, we're just so proud. We may be the only church in America that has a stunt baby Jesus.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. As long as he's signed up with ACTRA, then we'll be just fine.
But you know what? It just, my spirit soared, Drew. It was just so about the right stuff. You know, every year I rail against the commercialism of Christmas, and every year I ultimately, you know, fall into it myself because of the expectations that are always involved. But probably one of the best things we ever did all along was years ago when we had our kids. We kept our kids' presents to three, just like baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And that has really, really kept Christ and Christmas for us through the years. But it's the other stuff. It's like your business partners and your colleagues and your mother and, you know, everybody else. And so few of us need anything at all, you know. So going to church that Sunday morning did my soul a world of good.
Well, that's good.
Did. I was just so, I didn't know you had read that.
Yeah, well, hey, I always do my research, you know.
Well, you know, I know that, but I should send you the one that Christine wouldn't
read. Oh, that would be good. I'd love to.
It was a little on the suicidal.
Gee whiz. All right, now, Christmas traditions in your family?
Well, the one I told you about,
yeah,
which is the
the three presents.
The three presents. And we when the kids were little, we had this elf who showed up named Barnaby. And that Barnaby had been showing up since I was a little girl. And he shows up a little bit after Thanksgiving, and only the parents can see him. And it's very
helpful. What is it that shows up? A what?
He's an 800-year-old elf.
Oh, elf.
An elf from Santa Claus land.
Right.
You know, from the North Pole.
Right.
He shows up.
Right.
And as all elves do, but just only the parents can, they have different homes that they're assigned to. That's
right.
Just to get the kids ready for Christmas and stuff. So Barnaby is showing up now for this 4-year-old and our little 2-month-old, and my kids are in on it, which is fun now to see the news.
Yeah.
That tradition being passed on. We, you know, we try to adopt a local family, something we either read in the newspaper or find through social services, someone that's, you know, not going to have a Christmas unless we can make it happen.
Yeah.
And so you try to do that, and you try to do it as anonymously as you can, so it's just about that. It's just about the giving.
Yeah.
Now, but other than that, it's just we just try to get up in the morning and we take turns with presents. We don't just all, you know, go crazy. Just, you know, you never remember what you got because everybody just invades the gift so fast. That's kind of fun, and it teaches the kids patience. You go around the room and
delayed,
take time to really thank.
Delayed gratification.
You know what? It just, there's something right about it.
Yeah.
You see it. You appreciate it. You go in to thank the person. You love them. You go and call grandma, you know. And so it tends to take a few hours, which is, it's, as you know, because everything's over so fast in this world we live in. You know,
who does Kathy Lee Gifford keep in touch with over Christmas, other than family?
You know what I do? You know, right after Christmas, we open up our. Frank still has one of those old-fashioned black books. It's got everybody's number in it.
Your husband has a black book?
He's got a, well, not those kind, thank
oh,
God.
Okay.
Got rid of that a long time ago. No, you know, the kind that, we don't have a BlackBerry or anything. We just got an old-fashioned address book. And we go through the alphabet in the week after Christmas and New Year's, between the two. And we just call and just connect with people that are in that book that we just start love, no matter where they are. And it's one of the nicest things we do every year because we find them all so relaxed and at home. And instead of in a worried, you know, harried sort of a situation where, you know, they're happy to hear from you and they actually have time to talk.
Yeah, that's
nice.
Right. I do that when people have lost loved ones. I kind of wait for a month or even sometimes longer until things have settled down a little bit and then I'll send something.
That is the nicest thing because, you know, so often people just overwhelm you with their goodwill and their good tidings, that then all, and then it's over, and people go on with their lives, and you just feel so, you just you feel a little lost.
Yeah,
we had three real important friends of ours die right before Thanksgiving, one after another, 3 weeks in a row, And Mr. Mara, who owns the Giants in New York, has been like a father to Frank. And then a week later was, or two, couple of weeks later was Mr. Tisch, also owned the Giants and had been a 50-year-old friend of Frank's. And then the week right before Thanksgiving, a dear, dear friend of mine, lady battling cancer. So, you know, you're right. We make sure we call the family members that are still around the weeks after all the hoopla's died down, you know, pardon the pun, but, I mean, it really is that.
Yeah.
And that's when they need you most, and that's when they need you to come see them most. You need to keep them busy, take them to lunch, take them to dinner. You know, our Lord told us, you know, take care of the widows, you know. I mean, your husband may die, but then he's dead for a long time sometimes for these people, and life is hard.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Let me ask you a couple of little trivia questions here. Oh, I know. You know. The most useless Christmas present you ever got?
The most useless.
Like, did someone ever give you a Chia Pet?
I don't think so, thank God. I mean, I remember what they were. They're just so ugly.
Yeah.
They're demon-possessed, I'm convinced.
I think so.
Yeah. I think so. Anything with hair like that is demon possessed.
Yeah. Yeah. So are we talking about Don King? He's got hair
Don
like that.
Oh, Don King. Don King's hair is better than a Chia Pet, and that's really saying something.
Yeah, that is. That is.
Yeah.
Any memories about old presents or really even, how about something like the coolest present? You ever get a horse for Christmas or anything?
I know. Let's think. Christmas has so never been about presents for me.
Good for you.
That I really, you know what I'd love to do, and I know this is blasphemous to some people. I would love...
You're on the right show, then.
I know. That's why I love you. I would love to do away with Christmas, frankly, and have Thanksgiving twice.
Yeah.
I think that our Lord would be more pleased in some ways. Because Thanksgiving is so much more of His spirit. It's, you know, than all this excess and all this... I don't know. We've come such a long way from Bethlehem. Such a long way. And it just... I get depressed by it. I truly do. So I'd really rather have to, in fact, what we do on Christmas Day also is we make our Thanksgiving feast again.
Nice.
And we have Thanksgiving, at least the feast of it, one more time. But it's on Christmas Day. Yeah. You're right. I'm glad you reminded me of that because I got some cooking to do.
Yeah, get to work. Well, yeah, gee whiz. Favorite family Christmas food, speaking of cooking?
It's the same as Thanksgiving. It's a turkey. It's my mother's sage and sausage dressing, which I'll be happy to make available to everybody. My nephew lives up there in the Toronto area. So Jason, if you're listening, you know Grandma's stuffing. We make fabulous sweet potato souffle, fresh green beans, and gravy, homemade gravy from the turkey. So I mean, gosh, I'm starting to mouth watering right now.
Yeah.
What about you, Drew Marshall? What do you do
For Christmas?
Yeah.
I used to run and hide. Christmas was a weird time for me. I went through some weird stuff when I was younger, and so but now that I have children of my own, Bev and I, we have children of our own.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah, we enjoy it a lot more, and you do the rounds. I go to my dad's, go to my sister's. I was adopted, so I go to my birth mother's. We do the rounds.
I didn't know you were adopted.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
The things you learn when you talk to somebody over the radio.
Yeah, it is.
I knew you were weird.
Yeah.
But,
gee whiz. You
I didn't
are
know
killer.
That, but that's lovely that you have a relationship with your birth mom.
Yeah, it is. It is, and she's a great lady, a fantastic lady.
And have you shared with your listeners what happened to you all those Christmases ago that was so rough?
I shared a little bit. We just prior to, you know, the last time we had you on the show, we had a prayer request time just before you came on as well. And I don't know what it is about you coming on the show and people praying, but... during that time, I shared that Christmas was tough for me because there was a suicide attempt around 15 of my own life, and then when I was about 17, Christmas morning, I ran away from home. I went to California for a year and never kind of looked back. So
wow,
so tough stuff. But
anyway. all that's been answered.
Oh yeah,
it's all been settled. Although life is still a struggle in many ways. Those things have been answered in your spirit.
They have. And restoration with my family, especially with my father. My father and I have a beautiful relationship now.
Yeah, only God's spirit can restore like that.
Exactly.
I mean, only He can bring something good out of the ashes. It's just, you know, that Romans 8:28, you know, all things work together for good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. And all those years ago, even in the midst of it, you were still called.
Yeah.
You were called. And his faithfulness is overwhelming to me.
Well, and another perfect example of that, and here's the segue into saving Amy. I mean, let's talk about Amy Semple McPherson. And, I mean, you know, I went down with my daughter. We saw your incredible musical, Saving Amy, a tremendous production. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you, Drew.
But what a story. What a life.
What a life. I have to send you the music. We've just finished sweetening a lot of the music on our demo tape, and there's a song that I just got today that I was just streaming tears. It's a song that ends the first act. Remember it called For Such a Time as This?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's just incredibly powerful. For those of your listeners who don't know who she was, in a nutshell, she was basically this woman, real-life person who lived in the 1920s and the 1930s. She was the most celebrated, most controversial woman of her day. If you took Oprah and you mixed her with Madonna and you mixed her with, you know, 20 other incredibly well-known women, you still wouldn't have what Amy Semple McPherson was back then. Mm. And she was incredibly ahead of her time. She was a faith healer. She was a preacher, an evangelist, but she was married three times, divorced twice, was the defendant in the trial of the century in 1926, and also died tragically of an accidental overdose of barbiturates when she was 54 years old. But she left behind the Four Square Gospel Church, which has millions of members. She saved a million and a half people from starving to death during the Depression.
Wow.
She had a temple that's still there that to this day takes care of 50,000 people a week. The dregs of so-called society, you know, the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the AIDS patients, the drunks, the people that she alone welcomed into her church when she was, young female evangelist. And so, you know, I've been fascinated by her life, Drew, for 30 years, maybe more now. And this musical is the culmination of that. And I don't know what God has planned for it, Drew. Honestly, I would love it to be on Broadway this minute. Hmm. But if that's not God's plan for it, it's His. He can do what He wants with it. But you know, I know I've been writing it for 6 years.
I can imagine God saying, you know, to be honest, Kathy, Broadway is not good enough for this story.
Well, it would be an amazing motion picture as well.
It would, and that's what I was thinking, a distribution in that way. It's actually going on in Orlando.
Oh, that was the first one. I don't think you saw. Yeah, you did. You came to see
Under
the Bridge.
Under the Bridge is in Orlando. My apologies, yes.
It just closed. Yeah, you came to that too. Boy,
yes.
What a good boy you are.
I am.
Yeah, it opened and closed as well. It was there for a three-week run at the Orlando Repertory Theater.
Right.
And had a wonderful reaction and great response. And one of the reviews said, this should be a perennial Christmas classic. And, of course, my heart leaps because that's the whole reason you spend all this time and energy and passion on a project like that. Not so it can edify you,
no,
but so it can be shared with people and they can have their hearts touched. There's so little out there that families can go to.
Yeah.
Now, Saving Amy is, of course, I mean, you saw far more ambitious project and far more
overtly spiritual.
Well, it is, isn't it? And yet, thank you for not saying religious, because I tried very hard to not make it religious.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't.
Yeah, it's deeply spiritual because she was. But you know, when you watch The Sound of Music, how it's about a woman who's Catholic, but it's not about Catholicism.
Yeah.
I tried to write Amy about a woman who is a Pentecostal woman, yes, but it isn't about Pentecostalism, and yet the scripture is there and the gospel is there, and but I tried to use language that the average person can understand, not just the church. I didn't write it for the church. I really did write it for the unbelieving, because I just thought they'd be fascinated by her and want to know more.
Yeah, definitely. Have you picked up Regis' Christmas album?
I did, actually, because I did an interview with him on this show that I've been working on this past few months called The Insider.
The Insider. I've seen you on it a number of times.
Oh, boy. But you got to find me right. I'm usually right after the anorexic twins and right between, you know, and the 1,000-pound woman who's attached to her sofa.
Right.
But if you look hard, you'll find me.
Oh, man. No, and it's good to see you back. It is, and I know this seems like a good thing for you, a good combination, what you're doing with The Insider.
Well, you know, when you leave television, nobody can believe it to begin with. They just think, what kind of an idiot would leave that kind of money, that kind of power, that kind of prestige, you know? And yet, unless you've had it, you know, you really can't, I guess, see it for what it truly is. And it was time for me to leave the show with Regis, and he's remained a dear friend, and so it was fun to go back and interview him and promote his Christmas record,
yeah,
which is charming, actually. I highly recommend folks go out and get it. It's very a secular, you know, a Christmas record,
sure.
But it's fun and it's quintessential Reach, and I was happy to, you know, we'd had dinner three nights before the interview, so they did a huge thing in New York about Kathy Lee and Regis reunited, history making. I'm going, not really. We had dinner the other night.
Yeah, I know.
They just
don't get it. You've had some fun guests recently. Dolly Parton, I saw you had on there a little while ago.
Dolly, whom I absolutely adore. I sat for an hour and a half with Neil Diamond.
Oh,
Drew. He walked in, and he was wearing this fabulous shirt. And I said, oh, my gosh, I wish I had a sofa out of that. And he laughed, and we sat for an hour and a half. We had such a great conversation. I don't know. It just was one of the most fascinating talks I've ever had with any other human being. And as he's getting ready to leave, he goes, wait, Kathy, wait 2 seconds. I'll be right back. And I go, okay. He comes back 2 seconds later and hands me this shirt literally off his back.
Really?
Yep. I got Neil Diamond's shirt hanging in my closet.
Mercy. That's sweet. That's very nice. And Martha Stewart, didn't you run into her recently?
Well, I did her show.
Right.
I took off this neck brace 2 weeks ago to go and do her show, which was a mistake, you know, in terms of my health, because it sent me back about a week. Boy, this is something you don't fool around with.
No, the herniated disc thing.
Yeah. But anyway, it was nice to see her. And although, you know, she and I are very dissimilar. We have very little in common, it seems to me, on the surface.
Right.
I had sent her quite a few notes as she was going through her ordeal that were, you know, not about judgment. I figured she was getting all the judgment a human being needed, but just a note to say, you know what, I'm praying for you. I'm hoping this goes well for you. And last spring when she was getting out of jail, I said, I sent her a happy spring. I'm wishing it is the season of resurrection, and
sure.
I hope that's, you know, just stuff like that.
Good.
Every time I'd read something nasty or hear something nasty, which was often, I remember what it's like when somebody does it to me.
Oh.
And the cards that people would send me during times like that meant the world. So I sat down on her show, and that's the first thing she said to me.
Hmm.
She's, you know, and you never know. You don't even know if people are getting them, much less that they're really having an impact.
Exactly.
But apparently it did, and I'm grateful for that.
I think you actually have the spiritual gift of encouragement. You are the most encouraging person I've met in a long, long time.
Well, I'd like to think so, Drew. You know what? I think about all the times I missed an opportunity to be. I don't know, you know, I'm not as aware that I know there's so much more I could do and so much more I could give, and I'm always looking at that, you know, how I can never outgive God, you know. But if I could have a spiritual gift, that's a nice one to have, isn't it?
It is. It sure is. Yeah. Well, okay, listen, we're all out of time, and we sure have
appreciated. Oh, the big brush. Here we go again.
No, I know. Come on now.
Once a year, you talk to me, and then it's the big brush. You men, you're all like that. You have your way, and then you're done with
us. Oh, stop it. Stop it. Listen, I did a little recording myself of a little Christmas song, and I know you're a music aficionado, and I just, you know, I'm going to put you on hold here. You'll be able to hear it. And it's a special song to me, and I'll say a proper goodbye to you when we get you on hold here, but I want to thank you again for coming on the show, for saying good day to me, for being nice to me, even though I'm just a pleb up here in Toronto.
You are one of my favorite people, Drew Marshall. I adore you.
Thank you.
So happy I could meet your beautiful wife and your daughter, and I just know this is a friendship for eternity, and I'm so happy to talk to you. Merry Christmas to you and to all of your listeners, and I just pray that God will bless us, everyone, in the year to come. There's so much heartache, so much damage, and so much damage being done in the name of religion, in the name of the Lord. It's truly up to those of us who have Him living and breathing in us on a daily basis to change that, you know, to make a difference in the world. So thanks for letting me speak to you today.
Thank you, Kathy Lee. All right, well, here we go. Ready? You ready for my little song?
I'm excited.
All right, just have a listen to this. And folks, we're not going to be back next week. We're going to take a wee break. And when we come back January 7th, James Brown will join us, the godfather of soul, Mr.
Wow.
Please, Please, here on The Drew Marshall Show. Kathy Lee, have a little listen to something I've been working on, a bit of a song I think you might like.
But, Drew, don't make me laugh because I'm in a break.
Okay, well, don't laugh.
Okay.
This is right out of my heart.
All right, Eddie.
Have a listen to this.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin.
in an aeroplane till he appeared, and the soul felt it's worth a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees. Oh, hear the angels' voices. Oh, night divine. Oh, night when Christ was born.